I mean, and this, and the reality of all of this is it's not changing and it's not going away. And so we have to learn as believers, how are we gonna use social media for the gospel? So let me pull this up here, and we're going to begin just going through the, so, you know, think about this. There was a day, not too long after Al Gore invented the internet, that you would tell people, would say, whatever you do, if you get on the internet, whatever you do, don't talk to strangers. Stay out of chat rooms. Stay away from people you don't know. But we now live in a day where we'll get on our phone and we will invite a random stranger who we don't know using the internet to come pick us up in a car that we've never driven in. So how things have changed and how things are rapidly changing. And so social media is not going away. It's something that we can use for the gospel. And as we get to the end of our time together, I want to give you guys some very practical things that you can do immediately in your ministry context to accelerate prayer and the stories of what God's doing. Because the reality is you all have an amazing, whether you believe it about yourself or not, you have an amazing story in your life and your ministry that could encourage somebody else, that could inspire somebody else. And now we have the tools. The world is now flat. We can share stories that can inspire hope in literally tens of millions of people. And so think about in the last 10 years with the advance of social media, the iPhone turned 10 this year, isn't that right? And can you imagine a world without apps? But 10 years ago, that was brand new, right? And everyone, their first iPhone. Can you imagine trying to use the first iPhone? Wouldn't think about that. Now, if you want the new iPhone 10, you can spend about $1,000 if you want the smaller version. If you want to spend $1,300, you can get the larger version. It's just amazing the insanity that in the last 10 years, how fast things have changed. And think about how fast things are going to change happening now. In the last 10 years, look at some of the companies that have been developed in the last 10 years. Airbnb, you ever stayed in one yet? A lot of people are. You know who should have invented Airbnb? The Marriott. And those kind of companies should have, but they didn't. You know, someone else should have invented, like a major news corporation should have invented BuzzFeed, but they didn't. I mean, so the reality is if we don't change, we're going to be put out of business, so to speak. And I really think there's still a window of opportunity to learn how to use these pulpits for God's glory, for the sake of the gospel. We're going to stay away from Tinder, but Snapchat. My 5-year-old knows how to put a filter on and make a funny face and change her voice and send a picture to her mom. And what I do this morning, I Snapchat all my kids this morning when I was at the hotel. I did a funny filter. We do it for our family, you know. You've got Instagram. It's still 10 years old, less than 10 years old. Do you know who owns Instagram?
Facebook
does. Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion. So just shortly, a few months after it was created. Facebook tried to buy Snapchat after Snapchat was created, and they refused to sell. Facebook offered them $3 billion. You say, was that a wise move? I don't know, but they went public this year for about $30 billion. Fitbit, Spotify, BuzzFeed, Dropbox, WhatsApp is the third largest social media platform in the world. Third largest. You know who owns WhatsApp? Facebook. You know who's going to rule the world? Mark Zuckerberg. And and you got all these other, I mean, can you imagine a world with in this last 10 years? And so what's going to happen in the next 10 years? Technology. I'll tell you what's happening. Voice technology. Alexa, do this. Alexa, do that. It's amazing. If we have time at the end, I do want to pull up a funny video with that you might enjoy. But in 10 years, you know what's going to happen in the next 15, 20 years? Your kids and grandkids will be in cars that have no drivers. You say, whatever. No, Tesla is working on that pretty exclusively right now. Wasn't it amazing that last year, for the first time around Christmas time, we saw portable, personal VR sets being sold? You know, there'll be a day that someone in the next several years will be able to put on a VR set and be at a conference just like this and never leave their house and yet feel like they'll feel like that they're right there with us in the room as Robbie or Vance or someone else is speaking. things are shifting so fast, and so we have to either change or die. And I'm saying, why don't we find out how to use these tools for the gospel? How do we use voice technology? How do we figure out VR? And how do we just use the simple things we have in our own disposal right now, like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat? But the world is quickly changing. Just out of curiosity, anybody in here on Pinterest? All right, good. All right. I was going to ask if there are any men on Pinterest. I am as well. My wife thought that was kind of funny, but anyone ever try to find ministry ideas on Pinterest? Yeah, especially if you're in kids and youth ministry. There's a ton of great stuff on there, right? And so for the gospel. So what has happened in the last 10 years in social media? Something that's strange. When you first opened your Facebook account, I don't know when you did, you knew exactly who your friends were, right? I mean, you knew it was just a few of your high school buddies and maybe some close family friends. And so you knew that whenever you put something out there, you knew exactly who was reading it. But now, most of us have probably accepted people to be our friends. And if we're to be honest, I don't really know who they are. Context collapse. Where now you put something out there, you're probably a little more cautious to put things out there about your family or where you go on vacation or pictures of your kids. Because you're always thinking, who's that person that I really don't know but did accept as my friend that's looking at this? When Facebook started, it was just people you knew. Now, you say, how's that? What do you mean by that? I wonder how many of you thought twice before in this last election before you posted something on Facebook. Because you didn't know who was going to be looking at your feed. And obviously you have people who would probably agree with you on your political leaning one way or the other. But you also knew there are people who would not agree with you. And you also know, right, that nobody has ever had their mind changed on Facebook whenever you, like, commented on their post. Like, no one ever puts them out and you go, I totally disagree with what you just said. And no one said, thank you for showing me the error of my ways. I was so wrong. I don't have any idea how I could have said that. Thank you for pointing it out publicly for me. You know, the embarrassment was worth being corrected and being right. But now, why are the most popular apps the apps that give you a one-on-one feel? It's context collapse. People want a one-on-one experience. That's why Snapchat is so popular. It's a one-on-one experience. That's why Messenger on Facebook is growing in leaps and bounds to advertisers because it's a one-on-one experience. That is why Facebook Live, people love the feeling of being so closely connected. My kids don't have a favorite TV show. You know what they have? They have a favorite YouTuber. They do. Actually, on that topic, let me take you guys to one of my kids' favorite YouTube shows here. This is one of my kids. If you've not seen this, this will make your day. All right.
What their net worth is right now?
I mean, it's insane.
They're believers. I don't know what it is.
The Nickelodeon picked them up, and it's the. Oh yeah, it's insane. My kids. Yeah, my kids want their own show. So. They do. So anyway, so I mean, it's amazing that 20 years ago, these are guys that are probably multimillionaires now that social media gave them the ability because they made a video. Think about, I mean, I know a young lady, I'm part of a social media group that we meet a couple times a year and we go to certain events. We'll be at Museum of the Bible a week before it opens. We was with Greg Laurie a few months ago, and now we're all pushing out stuff for the Steve McQueen movie, which comes out tomorrow night. The One Day Night Fathom event to push things out. There's a young lady on there that she started a YouTube channel when she was 13 years old doing makeup, and now she has over 1 million subscribers on YouTube and talks about a lot of things, especially her faith. There are family vloggers. My 5-year-old will pull up YouTube and watch another family have fun, and that's her idea of entertainment. And so it's just the world that we live in. I mean, do you realize that? Cable, like, think about all the people that were like Dish Network and DirecTV that are probably terrified that now you got all these, like, Facebook's launching their own TV service. YouTube has already launched YouTube Red. Amazon's got Amazon Prime. You've got all of these independent companies launching their own services. And if I was in the cable business or the satellite business, I'd be terrified because people are dropping it like crazy. Why would you do that when you can get most of your content you want from YouTube? It's both of the presidential candidates last year both announced their VP picks on what? Twitter. As long as the president is on Twitter, Twitter will be just fine, all right? I'm just telling you, it is insane what social media has done, but it's given us an ability to communicate. Some of my best friends in the world I met on social media and Twitter. Some of the ways I've been able to connect with some of the leaders that are here at this conference was just via private message on, you know, direct message on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. And so we have the tool. There's absolutely no excuse that we could possibly have to not see prayer accelerate with the tools that God's given us. Here's some things that you can do to use social media for. I mean, because some people are like, I'm on, but I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm posting the right thing. How do I know what I'm doing right? Well, I'm just going to give you some simple things that you can use social media for redeeming for the gospel. One, you can use it to inform people. I mean, imagine just, you know, especially if you're a church leader. If you're a church leader and you're not theologically opposed like our friend here in the middle to social media, you should have a church Facebook account and you say, what should I be on everything? No, but be on the platforms where the people that you're trying to reach are on. And so if you want to reach the most predominant group on Facebook is 55-year-old females, you know, but 2 billion people in the world are on Facebook right now. 2 billion of the 7 billion people on the world are on Facebook right now. Facebook marketing is the most effective form of marketing we have today, because now you can pick. If I want to make an ad to go to 35 to 45-year-old males who happen to be Broncos fans who live in Denver, Colorado, I can pick that, and I can market straight to them. I mean, it's insane, the potential that we have, and we can inform. We can inspire. Simply just telling a story like, hey, imagine if you, before you went to sleep tonight, got on your Facebook page and said, hey, I've had just an incredible day at the 6-4 conference. God spoke to me powerfully about the Holy Spirit, and I'm energized about what God's going to do in our ministry because of the Holy Spirit. You say, why would I do that? Because there's somebody who might read that and get inspired. Because God spoke through you, and it's the fame of revival. It spreads the flame of revival. Stories fire people up. We are a story-driven culture. We can't help ourselves. At the end of the day, the sermons we remember are probably the sermons that had the story that captivated us. That's why we love movies and shows and heroes and villains, and that's how we are wired. And the Bible is God's unfolding drama of redemption. It's his story. History is his story. You can use it to entertain. Thus, those guys that are entertaining. I mean, you could sit there you could put a video camera and spend 20 hours slipping a bottle and cheer every time like it was going off, and you could do that. I mean, I'm just telling you, you can entertain. My 11-year-old and 13-year-old want to start their own YouTube channel called Brother Versus Sister. And they got all these fun things they want to do, but I think it would destroy the house, so I've still kind of vetoed that right now, but you know, people love to be entertained. That's why videos like that, we love to watch them, right? Think about, we can invite people to church. We can invite people to prayer. Here is a way that you can invite people. You can use, how many of you guys are on Facebook again? Anybody on Facebook? All right. What if you wanted to get people to participate in prayer? What if you said, hey, I'm going to do a Facebook Live prayer meeting tomorrow night, 7:00. Would love for you to join me. You put that out tonight. Tomorrow morning, you put out another invite. Hey, tonight, 7 p.m., going to be on Facebook Live, going to have a prayer meeting. Let me know how I can pray for you. You may get one comment. You may get 5 comments. You may get 10 comments. But the reality is people are starting to engage. You, that Facebook Live prayer meeting, 20 people watch it while you're doing the 10-minute prayer meeting. Over the course of 3 or 4 weeks, that video stays up. Maybe 150 people saw it. But you tell me how many prayer meetings that you've been a part of where there's 150 people show up. Imagine if everybody in this room had a Facebook Live prayer meeting and 10 people were a part of that. Yes?
How come on my my church page, I don't have the ability to check in or to do a live?
When's the last time you updated?
I updated pretty regularly.
Okay.
But it doesn't even give me the option.
Let me check here. Normally, right there.
See? Shut up.
Yeah.
So,
Shazam. All right, we got it. So, so I mean, and there's becoming a day where you can do Facebook's trying out some stuff with Facebook Live audio, but now we can invite people. So, any pastors in the room? Let me give you a simple practical tip that I think is powerful. We did this for anybody familiar with Greg Steer, Dare to Share? Okay. All right, Greg's a dear, dear friend. We started a Dare to Share Live prayer force. And we invited people into a closed Facebook group that wanted to be a part. And every day we'd post something about Dare to Share Live, which was last Saturday, by the way, and thousands of teenagers across America praying for spiritual awakening, going out, having gospel conversations. But for 6 months, we built up this closed Facebook group with over 1,000 people in the group, and we just every day put inspirational ways so they could pray. I don't know how many of them prayed, but we just tried to inspire and equip and give them easy on-ramps on how to pray. Sometimes we just write out a short prayer for them to say that day. So imagine if you're a pastor, you start a closed Facebook group for your church or for your ministry. Call it a prayer force, call it a prayer team, whatever you want, and you encourage the church, hey, I want you to join the prayer team of the church. And I'm going to be posting special videos, and I'm going to be posting, turn every announcement into a prayer, into a call to prayer. You got youth group next Wednesday night? Hey, be praying for the youth that are meeting Wednesday night. You got a business meeting coming up? Heaven help you. But, you know, you say, pray for our upcoming business meeting, that God would be glorified and that there would be no division and the church would be unified around the vision. And the cool thing about a closed group on Facebook is until it reaches over 250 people, you can see how many people actually saw what you posted in it and who saw it. So people go, Pastor, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that church activity. You go, well, actually, you did, because I can see it. You know, I'm just telling you, those are simple tools. You could create a church prayer team via Facebook, and I know a lot of people. It's just a simple, simple strategy. So there's a lot of things we do. We can share, share one another's stories, invites, stuff for different churches. Yes.
What's the value of it being closed?
Closed. There's three types of groups. There's an open group that anybody can join. You have to approve that they can join it. So they at least have to, you're filtered. Anyone can just join. You don't know who's a part of it. You kind of want to keep the context to the church. A closed group, people can find it, and you can still approve it. A secret group, no one can find it unless you ask them to join it. There's no way they can search for it if it's secret. So I recommend close. There is a secret group, you know. So there are such things. But I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, two months ago, said that Facebook groups and those that lead them are starting to act more like pastors. And now to think that way. Facebook groups have replaced what used to be in our community as Kiwanis and Lions Club and community get-togethers. We can say, I don't like that. We can say that. Or we can say, how can I use that for the gospel? I mean, what kind of stories can you share? I'm telling you, I'm just being honest with you. Most people, most days, are having a bad day. Most people, most days, are struggling and they're hurting and they're looking for hope and they're looking for help. And instead of talking about the weather or the news or whatever thing, we can put out content that inspires hope, that gives people faith. You say, well, my ministry is not that big. Never look at it that way ever again, because you can use social media to literally reach millions of people. God is my witness. I have a friend of mine who's in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Now, he's more bombastic in his approach, probably not in a way that I would necessarily go about it, but he had some videos go viral on Facebook. His church runs 300, 350 maybe, but they'll do a Facebook Live video, and they'll Facebook Live all their services, and 1,000 people will be watching. I know mega churches that don't get 1,000 people watching on Facebook Live. He'll put videos out there. He's been on Fox News, all sorts of stuff. The videos will have views of over a million, pastoring a church of 300. You know, imagine in our communities, if you say, I want to get into every home in our community. I don't know the size of your community, but give me $500 and tell me where you live, and I can probably make that happen for you. Because you say, I don't want to go door knocking. You don't have to anymore. You can create some sort of ad on Facebook and send it out there and target people in your community. You say, what am I going to say? Well, if you want to speak to single moms, let them know that there's hope and they're not alone, and you're a church that can help single moms. You have a group just for them. Or, you know, you've got an amazing teen ministry that reaches out to whatever. I'm telling you, there is no excuse not to use that we can reach more people because of social media with the gospel. We just got to get a plan and a strategy and say, let's do this. Let's execute it. Trial and error. Trial and error. Try, fail. So we can celebrate. If you're a pastor or a leader, always find something to celebrate what happened on Sunday and put it out on Monday. You say, man, our church was down in attendance. Was the music good? Find something to celebrate. Man, the music wasn't good and didn't have very people show up. Was the sun shining outside? I mean, seriously, celebrate. I mean, most leaders tell you, always find something to celebrate. Yes?
Yeah. So I do a lot of advertising.
Yeah.
I run multiple campaigns on Facebook.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. Big fan. Okay, I'm going to continue to do that.
Yes.
Don't $100 into social media marketing. Here's a question.
Go for it.
Is it better to have more likes or more engagements?
Engagements.
Really?
Engagement. So, because I mean, so as far as the page or the the ad that you do. Okay, so you can have a Facebook page with 100,000 likes, but then you look at the posts that are going out there, and you notice that, man, I've got 100,000 likes, but my reach, that little yellow bar at the bottom, only says that it really got to 50 or 60 people. And so then you begin to go, well, wait a second. These numbers aren't equating. But Facebook is all about money. It's pay to play. And so if you want, I mean, it's great if you get high organic engagement, but that's getting harder and harder and harder due to the way Facebook runs their algorithms. Engagement is you put a post and someone likes it or someone shares it or someone comments on it. And so if someone begins, so we have to create content that creates engagement. And so we have to think through, and it depends on what kind of ad you're doing or thing you're doing, but engagement, I think, is much better. But social media is really about, if you're trying to grow your platforms, it's about great content and a great growth plan. You can have the best content in the world, but your page is not growing. And it takes money to grow the page, and it does take a little bit of money to get Facebook's engine running in your favor. A dollar boost here, $5 boosting there, $3 boosting there. Retargeting to some stuff you've done before. But videos work better on Facebook than anything else now. Yes?
Don't the number of likes increase your visibility on search engines?
They do. It's now becoming social media optimization versus search engine optimization. It does, but still the reality is even if you put something out there, Facebook's only going to limit it to a certain people unless you pay for it. So you can still have 1 million likes, and they are still going to limit it unless you pay. Facebook is still a renting. They can kick you off at any moment. There's coming a day that we as a Christian could put a message about the cross, and they could say, no, you can't. They can take your page down forever in a moment. That's the scary thing. I'm not afraid, but I mean, Twitter has begun to block certain content. Like, that's not offensive at all, but they start doing it. You say, that'll never happen. It could happen in our culture very easily, where just saying that you're a Christian and you stand for the Bible, and just saying you stand for traditional marriage could get you in trouble on social media in the days ahead. And let me just say this, be careful what you post. I hope you heard what Mark said this morning about there's different people watching. Be careful what you say, even in response to what's going on with the NFL situation right now. Seriously? Yeah.
That you don't minister to one side of the aisle.
No.
You isolate people instantly. Mm-hmm. As soon as you take sides on things that just aren't important for them.
Well, and the reality of it is, there's just some things that we as white evangelicals will never be able to comprehend or understand because we don't have the context of what some of our other brothers and sisters have gone through. And so there's a whole body of information that shapes them to who they are, and we just make a judgment call, and we don't understand all the information. So we got to be careful. I'm saying be prophetic and be bold, but don't be belligerent and attacking and just sometimes it's good to be careful and be wise. But so imagine putting out ads for your church or your ministry that are encouraging, informing, inspiring. You want more engagement, share. Have people in your church become social media champions for you and let them know through an email that I want everybody to share this post about this upcoming event. Or you have an upcoming big day at your church. Create a little graphic for it and tell people to change their profile to that graphic. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He talks a lot, and I don't always necessarily understand what he's saying to me. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at a post that he posted on September the 10th that we do on the drive-in kind of announcement stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. When I click on that little people reach button, mm-hmm. It says we have 3,600 people reached. Engagement, there's some numbers, and then clicks, it says we have 1,100 3-second video views, but then it says that we have, probably 1,100 views. Mm-hmm. When you look at those things, of those three things, like which is the most important, that engagement, the clicks, or that total number of people reading?
Depends on what the click was taking them to.
Okay.
If the click was taking them to your website, that's probably pretty valuable.
Okay.
Yes.
Advertising. I heard you just now.
Yeah.
$5 here, $7.
Yeah.
Is it better to spend $75 on a really good content with, you know, good graphics, or is it better to do
do multiple ads, and always think about who the audience is, because what speaks to one certain group may not speak to another. A video that speaks well to one audience, you may want to pick someone significantly younger or older to say the same thing to target a different audience. If I was trying to speak to teenagers, I'm going to get someone significantly younger or even a teenager do the video. If I'm trying to speak to someone of a different ethnicity, I'm going to get them in the video. So I say multiple ads. And again, stuff that is already good content, it may already do well organically, and you don't need nearly as much as you think you do to get it to go out. Things go viral when they begin to get over 100 shares organically, because the more shares they get, the more they pop up on a feed, the more they pop up. Every time another comment is posted, it comes back up on the feed of Facebook. And so teaching people to engage, to comment, to share, yes.
Are there some security things that we should look for? I mean, it's a public page, so everybody can see it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was getting these private messages with these little purple mm-hmm. emojis or something.
Yeah.
They were all the same, and I would click on them, and it was three or four different people, and they were all from Pakistan.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that. I would just, my advice to you is never click on a link from somebody you don't know. Okay. Never. Honestly, it's what they call a phishing scheme. Gets them access into your system, and all of a sudden, you've been hacked, and now someone's recreating an account in your name. All I'd say is, in the instant message thing, don't click links. If you don't know them, just stay away from it.
But is there every one of these things have the same purple emojis or whatever
they're called?
And there were three different people, so I just blocked them.
Yeah, block them. Just block them. And honestly, if there's people that are belligerent against you on social media, just block them or hide them. I'm telling you what, Satan will use social media to make you, if someone left your church and all of a sudden the next thing you see on their feed is, oh man, it was great this Sunday at this new church, it's going to hurt you. It's going to bother you. So just learn to hide people and don't go searching everybody's feed. You know, it's heartbreaking.
So it sounds like Facebook is the king
of... It's the king. I mean, it's okay, so every social media platform has a different audience. Twitter is where thought leaders engage, where a lot of pastors and mainline pastors engage. I know I can get Mark, who spoke this morning, to probably retweet something, but if I tag him in Facebook, there's a nil chance he's going to share that. But I know on Twitter, it's easy. So Twitter is where thought leaders engage, leaders are there, 140 characters, which now Facebook is testing 280 characters. Congregations are probably on Facebook, and then probably you've got a lot of teens on Instagram. You might have some on Snapchat, but it's doubtful. I would say Instagram, Pinterest, and I would probably say Facebook. But you might have leaders on Twitter, and so you don't have to be everywhere, but decide who your audience is, who you're going after, and be there, and be very intentional there. You may just pick one platform and go deep. I like testing new ones out. Marco Polo, you name it, new things come out, I like to test it. Yes.
On your list, one of your slides, you did not list LinkedIn.
Yeah, LinkedIn, yeah.
Why is LinkedIn not mentioned?
I think, I have to double check, it may be more than 10 years old. It may be one of the few, I think it's over 10 years old. So.
What's your opinion on LinkedIn? Should we have a presence?
It depends on what you're doing. As a church, probably not. But there may be leaders and business leaders that use it. If you're a business leader, that's where a lot of, where resumes and connections and networking happen. I'm not personally on LinkedIn. I've got a million invites in my Gmail account to join someone's LinkedIn. This is one place I've never landed. But wherever you land, be all in where you are. It just depends on who your audience is, Depends on who your audience is. Yes?
So next gen is a huge focus.
Mm-hmm.
Our high school has like 1,700 kids. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's evenly split between Twitter, Instagram,
yeah.
Snapchat, Pinterest. I can't do them all.
No.
So how do I How do I determine which one I'm going to go deep in?
Find out if you have a kid in your youth group that you trust that's just killing it.
Okay.
You know, that you would trust. Let there be a champion if they're killing it. So here's something we did for Dare to Share Live. We had the Dare to Share Live app, and we put in the app, we had photos and short videos that people, the videos for Instagram have to be a minute or less, but we put gospel conversation starters. From the app, they could directly post to their social media account, and it was just like, my life in 6 words, or how would you describe your life? And it was not the gospel, but it was a way to get a conversation started. So we encouraged a ton of teenagers, like probably 10,000 plus, on last Saturday to use their social media to spread the gospel. I mean, just picture as a pastor or leader in your church, you tell people to pull out your phones, and I want you to make a 1 minute video or less of how you came to faith in Christ. What were you like before you got saved, how you got saved, and what your life has been like since. Hi, my name is Malachi O'Brien, and before I gave my life to Christ, I thought good works would get me to heaven, and I was worried about whether or not I would where I'd spend eternity. But then I heard the gospel, how Jesus died for me, was buried again, rose again, and if I would give my life to him, he would save me. So when I was 12 years old, I prayed to receive Christ, and he's changed my life, and it's been the best life ever. So let's say I do that video, and I post it on my Facebook account, and 50 people see it. 50 people have watched a one-minute video of the gospel. Now imagine if 100 people in your church do it, and only 50 people see it. That's 5,000 people.
They post on their account.
You could have a camera set up in your church, and you could help do the videos for them if you had a big enough church, and help. They say, hey, you could email them the file and say, post this on your account. So,
they can post it
on a church account. Tell stories on your church account.
Their
account. Yeah, I would post story. Videos work better on Facebook than anything else right now, and even square videos work better than horizontal videos. So you were talking about ads a second ago. Square videos work a whole lot better than horizontal videos. They got 4 times the engagement and the views than the horizontal ones.
So you're saying film it vertically.
Vertically. Yeah. And now there's apps that let you scale it and make it. So that's why you have a thing square on your, you can make square videos. A lot of the videos you see on Facebook now have the borders at the top and the bottom because the engagement works a whole lot better that way. And so some of the things, if you're trying to reach people on Instagram, I can go into Instagram search filter and I can type in a zip code and different things are going to pull up from that zip code. Businesses, people, stuff like that. You can use the search features to find a lot of different people. So, you know, let's just take questions. I do want to show you guys one more video. I like just taking questions. Here's what I want to tell you. One is better than zero. You say, I don't have very many followers. Doesn't matter. One is better than zero. One is better than zero. Put videos out there. You have a phone. Shoot short videos. Put prayer quotes out there. Take 10 different quotes of Daniel Henderson or somebody else speaking this week and put it on your social media account. Talk about how God's working in your life. If you've ever been broken, people respond to our failures and our brokenness sometimes more than they respond to our successes. You know, if you've ever suffered from, you know, and have found victory over depression, you know how many people you could relate to if you'd ever just be vulnerable and share about it? Hey, I'm here today just to tell you, 5 years ago, you know, ministry was hard, and I about quit, and I was depressed, you know, and you tell that story, and imagine what God could do. Or maybe there's a couple that went through, almost got a divorce. Maybe they did, and they're going to say, just use videos to tell stories. Use your social media to encourage. If I was on Twitter, if you're on Twitter, @mention Daniel Hunt says, hey, great conference, Daniel. This has been phenomenal. Use it to encourage. Yeah, put the apps on.
Where do you go to find that?
You can, YouTube videos, yes.
No,
I'll say you go to YouTube. Everything you want is on YouTube.
Which means, should we have a YouTube account?
If you're going to post, I would say YouTube is a search engine. Again, you don't have to be everywhere, but Google owns YouTube. And if I was one to pull up on search engines, I would put a video out there and have a really, make sure that the words are there right. I have a long descriptor of the video. Today, Pastor Mark preached about this, this, and this, and I'd use keywords because that's going to show up in Google search engine stuff. But again, you might be overwhelmed with so many things, so just start in one thing and just keep expanding. But write it down, like have a vision. I want to glorify God by using social media to spread the gospel. Write down, I'm going to post on Facebook once a day and Twitter 4 times a week and Instagram 2x a week and just follow that plan. And as you get better with it, keep doing it. But you don't have to start off. The fear, The desire of perfection paralyzes most people. You say, I'm too old. I can't learn. How old were you when you learned to drive? You learned, didn't you? You learned. We all can learn. So I'm just saying that now's the time to learn. Now's the time to engage, because I promise you 2 years from now, you'll wish you had. You'll wish you had. Yes?
How about mobile church apps?
Uh-huh. I recommend it for a lot of things, for online giving, for sermons, for announcements. I recommend it. I recommend it. And again, so you're probably just going to get your church people to use it, but it's still good to have them do it. If you can keep the calendar up to date on there, and you can have an online giving feature, if people could fill out a guest card on your app, you know, encourage them, hey, download the app, fill out the guest card this way, I'd recommend it. Yes? Yeah, that'll show people, all the friends that they're at the church. Absolutely. Inspire people. We're on social media to make a difference. Yes.
I've got 17,000 likes.
Yes.
And 20 less following.
Yeah.
That's really odd. I post once a day.
Yep.
When do I move to 2 times a day? Every 12 hours?
You got to think about, when are people most likely on their phone? I'll tell you the two most common times. As soon as someone gets up, what do they do? Grab their phone. You did it this morning. I know you did. And you look at your phone and you scroll all through your notifications. Am I right? Or when do people also look at their phone? They're lying down in bed. Is anything fun on Pinterest I can look at right now? You know? So I post in the mornings and in the late evenings, because that's when people are on. You got to. It's all about capturing attention. That's why I would never buy a billboard down a highway, because if I was a passenger in a car, I'm not looking at the billboard. I'm looking at my phone. So, anyway, yes.
So you're saying that post just needs 100 shares for the potential of it going viral?
Yeah, that's usually kind of a magic number that it just keeps cycling.
So why wouldn't churches fill in a very gospel-saturated testimony and then tell people to share that testimony on Facebook? Or if I got the 5 largest churches in Denver to say, we're all going to encourage our churches to share this.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the potential, say, if you got 5,000?
I mean, imagine the massive reach in that is phenomenal. Most people just don't think it can be done, and they think it's too hard and too complicated. It's not as hard. Sometimes we're so worried about the perfect lighting and the perfect camera angle. Well, I don't want to do a video unless I got a perfect video. No, you've got an iPhone or a cheap Apple substitute. You know, you can, you know, you can... You know, you can worry about, some people say, what am I going to create? Don't worry about creating. Think about documenting. What are you thinking about today? What are the struggles you're facing today? What's going on last week? Creating, you think, I guess it's got to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. That's why the most viral videos are not non-polished videos. Like that group of people singing in the, with Hurricane Harvey hit Texas, and there was that people singing there in the shelter, and that video got seen like 25 million times because someone filmed it. Yeah, so... Anyway, yes, in the back here.
I was listening to a podcast about how to sell social media just last week, and the guy who professionally does it for churches and stuff like that, after looking at the algorithms, it was his ugly videos that was getting more likes than the ones he professionally did. The square videos with the borders on top.
I'm just saying. Start. Make a quote of Daniel Henderson or Leonard Ravenhill or Ian Bounds or whoever, Billy Graham. I mean, I'm just start somewhere. The content's out there. Just start. One is better than zero. You never know, that one post will encourage somebody. So, yeah, Jane Race?
Well, along with what he said, I'm just a question, but I know from being a music teacher through school, I always picked the kid that had the list to be one of the best readers. Mm-hmm. Teachers would come around and say, somebody that sounded like Linus, because that's what I grew up
with.
And the audience would always, so the world may say, well, that's not the
case. Yeah.
Now, as far as time, what should we allow as far as time to invest in just a simple application? What's that going to do?
Amazon has a 70-20-10 rule. Search up Bezos 70-10-20. So spend 70% of your time on where most of your people are. That may be Facebook. Spend 20% of your time in places where you really want to get better and learn. And then spend 10% of your time trying brand new, out-of-the-box things you've never thought about before, you know. But I would say there's apps created that you can make professionally looking quote graphics. There's an app for everything. There's probably an app for starting a fire, okay? So, I mean, there's probably an app that's a scale, all right? So I'm telling you, there's apps for everything. And you could have, you could have apps that help you schedule your posts. You're like, I can't do this all day. You don't have to. If you just, on Monday, spend 1 hour a week, and you can schedule all your tweets for the week. You can schedule all your Facebook posts. Now, here's my recommendation. If somebody comments, don't leave a comment behind. Because you're not just speaking, you're engaging, you're building loyalty. That's why I tweeted out yesterday. It was fun. I was meeting with Greg Steer at the airport. We was meeting at the Southwest Terminal for about an hour. And afterwards, I tweeted out, hey, you had a fun meeting with Greg Steer at the Southwest Airlines, at Southwest Airlines Terminal. Within 30 minutes, they tweeted, you'll never know who you're going to meet at Southwest. They did that. When Delta jacked around with me about 6 months ago on my flights, I private messaged them and said, hey, this is not normal Delta stuff. Can I get some free miles for all the hassle? And I got a message back. So I'm telling you, it's a communication thing. You might put, what if you put out there, hey, Southeast Christian Church, Kyle Eidelman and Dave Stone, big large church in Louisville. They put out on Twitter yesterday, hey, Kyle and I are praying about next year's sermon series. What do you think are some things we should preach on? You see, that's ludicrous. No, they're just getting ideas. They're just getting ideas, engagement. What if you put it on your church page? Hey, what are some topics you think that would help our church for me to address from God's word next year? People comment, say, thank you. That was awesome. Thank you. That was helpful. I'm telling you, let kids, I mean, you got to watch out. There's always negatives, everything, but embrace it. It's not going away. And Facebook, there's coming a day that everything's going to be run through Facebook, probably. And you never know what new crazy app's going to come out. But it's not about the size of your church. It's about influence and encouragement and giving value. What's my social media strategy? Give value, give value, give value, give value, give value, give value. And every once in a while, I might ask for something. I want to give value. I want to tell a story. I mean, I do social for the Colorado. Just took over for the Colorado Baptist Convention. Nathan Warwick was here earlier today, telling their story. Johnny Hunt, Timothy Barnabas, telling the story from some of the Timothy Barnabas events. Churchleaders.com. We just want to inspire and give hope and encourage people. I want to inspire hope on what Jesus can do, and I want to tell the story of how God's answering prayers. We can use social media to influence and encourage, inspire a lot of people. And I don't worry about followers. Just worry about what are you giving to put out? Tell stories that inspire and motivate you, all right, and encourage somebody. And you never know what reaching out to somebody on Instant Messenger or direct message on Twitter could do to encourage somebody. So find someone to encourage, find someone to inspire. But I'm telling you, let's see. I believe we're the next great spiritual awakening is coming. I believe it's coming. And I believe that God's going to utilize the social media tools we have to spread the flame of revival. The fame of revival spreads the flame of revival. So anyway, any other questions before I pray and we are done? I don't know where to get Amazon. I don't know where to get the silver edition, all right? So anyway. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, let me pray for us real quick, all right? Father God, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, at the end of the day, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Lord, sometimes it's so easy to compare ourselves to other churches, other ministries, other leaders, thinking that they're bigger, they have better stuff. Lord, I pray that we would forsake that kind of thinking and we just say, who can I encourage today? Lord, who could you speak to us through that we might give value to by a testimony, a scripture verse, a story? Lord, so I pray you'd help us to redeem social media for the gospel. May millions of gospel conversations and encouraging words and prayer meetings happen on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And Lord, help us just to say, you know what? I'm going to learn. I'm going to watch some videos, and I'm going to trial and error, and I'm going to test some things out, but I'm going to learn. And Lord, help us to see your kingdom advance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, thank you so much.